Can everybody hear me all right? Yes? So, my name is Roald, and I am a grateful member of Al-Anon, and I'm a record collector. So I took that prop with me. I actually thought that the convention was called Second Chance. I'm not so good at precise reading, as I heard in the previous share. And when I heard about the theme, the records were what came to mind. I've been collecting records for like 15 years, and I just love the old glory that comes from them, right? They're outspoken, they're great music. They're often very beat up, like it's been like, they've been to a few parties, right? This one has like beer stains on it. It's like all torn up, right? And like a good Al-Anon, I really like the worst cases, you know? I really like to take care of them. Take them home, clean them up, and the thing is that I also think that one of the things that attracted me to them is that I was always scared to live like that, right? To have an experience, to just like travel all over the world, like a lot of these records have, you know. To be outspoken, right? And I think that I lived vicariously through these objects, and I lived vicariously through other people, really. I was always a very frightened kid, as far as I can remember. I like to withdraw, right, into books, fantasy worlds, and I didn't really have like a home where I was, abused or mistreated, but I was really left to my devices. And there was not really a lot of things that were actually being discussed where I grew up. And saying I love you, for instance, it was weird. I mean, it was a bit like Voldemort in Harry Potter, right? I mean, people really pulled a weird face whenever they... I think I heard it only like a handful of times when I was growing up. And so I sort of like took away from that showing emotions was not a good thing. It was a dangerous thing. My dad almost never got angry, and if he got angry, he was just exploded like a volcano. He'd punch holes in doors. And I was, like I said, like left to my own devices, and so I started figuring out stuff for myself, right? There's this expression in the Netherlands where I grew up, which is, while acting normal, you're already acting crazy enough, which was like repeated a lot in where I grew up. And so I started to pretend like I was normal, that I didn't have any issues, that I could take care of things. And there were really problems in my house, right? Which were solved basically by going in addiction. Both my dad and my brother were really heavily addicted, and I reacted to that by trying to be even more normal, and by being responsible for everybody and anybody. And I thought that I was being the normal one in the family, and I ended up doing like a lot of crazy stuff, you know. I mean, basically I took care of everybody else besides me. Whenever it came to a decision I had to make for myself, I ended up making the decisions that were really worst for me, right? I was living in an apartment building where I hated it, and so I moved in with two gambling addicts. And they would be sitting just like playing poker loudly and drinking heavily, and I would just like trying to get to sleep and just, and resented the fuck out of them. You know, to them it was just horrible. And I escaped from that place by meeting a girl online, and then directly moving to another country, to Belgium, and moving in with her, right? It's best decision I ever made, really. And that lasted for 6 months. And then I moved out, and we ended up like moving in with each other, moving out, and then I was here. Then I was in Belgium, and I thought that, you know, I knew how it works. I thought that I knew how to act responsibly, act normally. And I was just insane, you know, and I didn't know it. And I'm still grateful to her for introducing Al-Anon to me. I was asked by my ex if I had ever heard of Al-Anon and if I would be interested in checking it out, because it looked like, you know, that I had some traits that made me qualify as an Al-Anon. And of course I resisted it for 6 months, and then even though on the outside everything seemed to be going okay, right? I had just finished studies, I was doing great, like on a superficial level, but I never felt so unhappy. And so I thought, what the hell? You know, I'll give it a try. And there I started learning how my thinking had become distorted. That I didn't have a drinking problem, but I had a thinking problem, right? My sponsor even gave me a snazzy acronym. It's the World According to Roald, or WAR, right? It's just that I thought that the world worked in a certain way, that if I just like did everything else for everybody, then people would love me and they wouldn't leave me. That emotions were just like a scary thing, and that I just needed to do everything to just not experience them, and then everything would be fine. And I started first to attend meetings, and then I started a new life, really. I mean, when I asked my sponsor to help me to go through the steps, I actually started very slowly, and it's really like, I think sort of the culmination of that is me standing here on the stage in front of like 400 people and just explaining what I'm doing with my life, you know. It's like that I finally got to be more like the people and the objects that I craved so much, right? It's that I had my own experience, right? It's not as, you know, spectacular as I've heard earlier today, you know, really. I mean, quite the opposite very often, but it's my experience, right? It's my life. It's, and I can change, right? I don't have to anymore now live according to those rules and laws that I created for myself. I have a higher power, and one of the things about having a higher power is that every day becomes surprising, right? I never know what is going to happen. I think still that I know what is going to happen, right? Because that's how I've been hardwired. But a lot of times I just genuinely feel excited to see what's coming next. And that's a sensation that I've never had before. And I think I'll leave it at that. Thank you for listening.